It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. We'll keep you apprised of what's happening out there. And be sure and go to my Facebook page as well, The Kim Munson Show, and like that. It looks like Facebook is starting to tap us down just a little bit, so I take that as a badge of honor, Producer Steve.
Well, you mentioned this a couple days in a row now, and I think I need to get in there and start looking, behind the scenes and seeing if we can, verify that, because, yeah, it is a badge of honor. But still,
what I'm seeing is we've been on some of the things. We actually put some money behind some of these different op-eds and things that we have to try to get a greater reach. And we were having great success with that. And those numbers are down. And so that's why I think that they might be doing something on that.
What's the word I'm looking for where there's that intentional...
Censoring,
yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't either. So be sure and go in, and I'd really appreciate it if you and your friends and family would like the Facebook page. That would be a good thing. A great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines, Bill of the Day, as well as you know, Matthew Durkin is running for DA out in Jefferson County. And he's going to update us. The gun bills dropped just recently. And we need to get our brains around what the actual consequences will be of these particular bills. So we'll talk to Matthew Durkin in the second segment. And then in the third and fourth segment, Françoise Bergen is a councilwoman in Aurora. And Aurora is becoming a real nanny state over there. There is an ordinance that they are considering called Healthy Kids, the Healthy Kids Initiative. And it's actually going to dictate what drinks at a restaurant can offer in their kids' meals. And so with that, let's go ahead and jump into all of the things we have going on. And, of course, we'll talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour regarding what's going on in the markets. It was a big up day in the market yesterday. It is quite a roller coaster. So we'll talk to Jason McBride at the half hour there. As we look at these issues, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't need to force people to implement it. And we continue to see the socialization of our transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, healthcare. But guess what, Steve? We are now seeing the socialization of eggs.
Well, I know we're going to discuss this in some detail. There's something really foul about this.
Oh, you've been working on that one for a while. Yeah, we're talking about the bill of the day, which is House Bill 201343. It's regarding egg-laying hen confinement standards. It says the bill requires a farm owner or operator to house chicken, turkey, duck, goose, or guinea fowl hens in accordance with the standards established in the bill. And the bill prohibits on or after January 1, 2022, a business owner or operator from selling shell eggs or egg products that are produced by egg-laying hens that were confined in a manner that conflicts with these standards. So it requires by 2022 that hens be confined in an enclosure with at least 1 square foot of usable floor space per hen. It requires by 2024 hens be confined in a cage-free housing system with at least 1 square foot of usable floor space per hen if the hens have unfettered access to vertical space, or 1.5 square feet of usable floor space per hen if the hens do not have unfettered access to vertical space, deems a sale to have occurred at the location where the buyer takes physical possession of the shell egg or egg product. It allows a business to rely upon written certification that the shell egg or egg product did not come from hens that were confined in a manner that conflicts with the bill. It authorizes the Commissioner of Agriculture to impose a civil penalty of up to $1,000 per violation. It makes the commissioner responsible for promulgating rules to implement and enforce the bill. Right there, rules and enforce. Those are our code words for socialization there, Steve.
The commission.
Commission, yes.
So, I don't know. It conjures up pictures in the brain. These people are going to run around the state checking out every poultry farm.
And they'll choose. That's the other thing is bureaucrats then can choose who they're going to enforce and who they're not. And so ultimately they could put one person out of business and just have a blind eye to another. That's why this is so dangerous, because it starts to put in the hands of somebody that's unelected, unaccountable, this particular power. And ultimately what this is going to do, it's going to increase the cost of eggs. And I've got a little Mexican restaurant that I love to go by sometimes and pick up a breakfast burrito. And this is going to start to put pressure on their prices. And ultimately, people will start to make choices on, because they'll have to raise their prices, people will make choices on, hey, am I going to get that today? I might wait until tomorrow. And so ultimately, this is going to affect the economy, the ability for people to thrive and prosper here in Colorado. And it's all because they want to come in and socialize eggs.
In the grand scheme of things, knowing that there's already a ton of regulation out there in the industry, but in the grand scheme of things, the people downtown in the capital have nothing
better
more,
to do?
More pressing?
I think that we do. Oh. So, and we'll talk about some of those other things as well. Always want to say thank you to the team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and to each of you listeners. You each have a purpose. Go out and strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You have a purpose, you're treasured, and you are valued. Since we're going to be talking about kids' meals, happy meals, I thought for our inspiration wisdom, we would go to Ray Kroc. And Ray was an American fast food giant. He joined the California company McDonald's in 1954 after the McDonald brothers had franchised six locations out from their original 1940 operation in San Bernardino. This set the stage for national expansion with the help of Kroc, and eventually leading to a global franchise, making it the most successful fast food corporation in the world. Kroc was included in Time 100, the most important people of the century. He amassed a multi-million dollar fortune during his lifetime. He owned the San Diego Padres baseball team from 1974 until his death in 1984. He was born in 1902 and he died at the age of 81. And this is what Ray Kroc said. He said, if you work just for money, you'll never make it. But if you love what you're doing and you always put the customer first, success will be yours. And that's Ray Kroc. Okay, Steve, are you ready for the funnies?
Ready.
Here we go. A man goes into a fast food restaurant, and he sees an elderly couple with one Happy Meal. They take out all of the food, they lay it on the table, and they start splitting it. They split the hamburger in half. They split the fries into two equal piles. But what strikes the man as very odd is that only the husband begins eating. So the man walks over and says, I can buy you another Happy Meal if you like. And the elderly woman replies, oh, no, we share everything. So the man waits, and only the old man continues eating. The woman sits there and watches. So he goes back over. He says, ma'am, I'd be honored to buy you another Happy Meal. Oh, no, she replies, you misunderstand. We share everything. So slightly exasperated, the man asks, then what are you waiting for? And the elderly woman replies, well, the dentures, of course.
Was that Ray Kroc approved?
I don't think so, but I approved this message. So let's jump over here. Lauren Levy is on the line. He is with Polygon Financial. He is a mortgage specialist. And Lauren, things are crazy out there. I think there's a tremendous opportunity right now for people to possibly do something that could save themselves thousands of dollars over their lifetime. What say you, Lauren Levy?
I agree with you, Kim, and it's interesting with the market doing what it's doing, you know, every day being down 1,000 or 2, up 1,000 or 2. It's kind of a weird time. And so rates are still really low. You know, we keep bouncing on this all-time lows, and then they might move up a little bit and then bounce back down again. So I suggest that people check in with you know, an expert in the field, that's someone that has access to all the information and can make a good decision as to whether or not it's an opportunity or not for people.
Well, and Lauren, what I think people should do is give you a call. I know that you are offering to do to pay for their appraisal as they go through this process. And Lauren, what I know about human nature is people say, well, it may not quite be the exact low, so I'm going to wait. And right. And you can never hit the exact low, but you can actually take advantage of an opportunity. And if you get, you know, close to 10%, where, you know, in the range of that low, you should consider yourself pretty successful. So I would highly recommend that people give you a call.
Well, thank you. I agree with that. It's interesting you say that, Kim. I do have a couple people that I talked to in the last several days that think things are going to go lower, and I can't tell them that they're wrong. But I know on a day like yesterday was weird. Rates actually took a little bit of a step up, and so some of those people have at least temporarily passed on rates that they could have had in hopes to get lower rates, and the rates that they could have moved up on them a little bit. So I agree with you. I think you can always take what looks like a low, and if things drop more, then you can take a look at it again in 6 or 7 months and see if there's another opportunity there again.
And that seems like something that would be very prudent to do. So what is the process like if somebody wants to just take a look and see what might happen? What would that look like, Lauren?
So they just need to call or go on the website. We're doing everything we can to return all the calls. And, you know, we'll spend about 15 minutes with them on the phone just trying to gather the information for an application that helps us determine, you know, what opportunities are there, what their credit looks like, what their rate they'd be eligible for is. So every property type and loan is different based on what people owe and what their credit scores are. So it's all individualized. So we just have to spend a little time doing some homework.
And how long will it take before you get answers on what if people could improve their situation?
We can pretty much tell within the initial conversation. So it's just a matter of having the time to get the information down. So I would say it's about a 10-minute call, maybe 15 minutes.
Okay,
and,
so
from that point, we can get an answer.
So people could call you in over 10 or 15 minutes. Very possibly, they could put in place something that really will save them thousands of dollars over their lifetime if, in fact, they lower those interest rates on their home mortgage loan. I'd highly recommend that. Your number, I think I've got it memorized, is 303-880-8881. Did I do it?
You did. Got it, yep.
Okay, 303-880-8881, and the other way would be your website. What is that, Lauren?
That's www.polyfigroup.com.
Okay, again, one more time.
www.polyfigroup.com.
Okay, great. Lauren, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you very soon. I know that you're going to be in studio next week with Karen Levine. That's going to be a great day. Is it next week or the week after? Now
I think it's the week following.
The following week. So we'll have you in studio and you know, keep us apprised of what's going on there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, thanks. That was Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial, and his number again is 303-880-8881. We're going to go to break. We'll be chatting with Mac Durkin, who is candidate for Jefferson County DA, and the gun bills, quote unquote, some of the gun bills dropped last week, and there's something that's really concerning of me. I was up with the girls up in Fort Collins on Friday night at our Tapas and Topics group, and one of the girls told a story about three guys trying to get into her garage, and I think that is very relevant. It has relevance to what we'll be talking with Matt Durkin about. Before we do that, though, I can't wait. It's a March Madness. I love that. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. And basketball fans, Hooters is the place for all your basketball madness. Grab 10 boneless wings and a Big Daddy beer for only $14.99. Bring in a group and grab 15 boneless wings served in any of their world-famous sauces or dry rubs, along with a pitcher of beer for just $20. So what are you waiting for? Get your game on at Hooters. More information, check out my website, and just go to the sponsors tab. There's a drop-down menu. I recommend all of those people that are named there. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Matt Durkin.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping Golden Retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And I'd greatly appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and like us as well. Matt Durkin is on the line. He is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. This is really an important race. George Soros has been playing in DA races across the United States. And ultimately what is happening is that we're seeing in those communities that they are becoming less safe. And if you are not safe, it's very difficult for you to go out and go after your hopes and dreams, to, you know, to go out and work and take care of your family. And safe communities is just inherent in a free society. So Matt Durkin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. It's always good to be here.
And our safe communities, one of the things is important is that people be able to keep them and their families safe. And these gun bills that have been introduced, I'm concerned about them. But would you explain those to our listeners, please, Matt?
Absolutely. And you've really nailed it on the head that public safety matters. You have to be safe in your home. We have to be safe in our neighborhoods, safe in our communities, and that's first things first, because we can't go on in our days and drive around town, go to our work and be productive and happy without that public safety. And so last week, the legislature, who has dialed down a lot of penalties and refused to address some issues in crime, has begun to create other crimes. And what they've done is they've introduced House Bill 2013-55, that's 21355. It's called the Safe Gun Storage Bill. It mandates that all firearms be stored in a safe or locked device in a home where a juvenile or some unauthorized person can gain access. And it creates a Class 2 misdemeanor for a violation of that. And that was introduced on March 6th. Then there's a companion bill, House Bill 21356, 1356, that creates penalties for not reporting a lost or stolen gun. So you have an affirmative duty to report to the authorities a gun that is either lost or stolen within 48 hours. So they are creating crimes surrounding gun ownership where they are dialing back penalties for violent crimes for murders.
Well, Matt, our listeners, I was thinking about this morning as in preparation kind of mentally for our conversation. And I was up in Fort Collins with one of our Tapas and Topics groups. It's a women's groups that meet throughout the state. And if people are interested in joining one or would like to start one, they should just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. But one of the girls there told this story that just last week, and she lives in a nice area in Fort Collins, and apparently her garage door isn't working properly. And so in order to lock it right now, she puts a rake in whatever the locking mechanism is. And she said it was about right before 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and she has a long driveway. And she noticed three guys in a car as she was going into her driveway. And, you know, sometimes, Matt, you know, I think there's something inherent where people can kind of feel danger. You can feel something in your tummy. She's like, something doesn't feel right. And so she drove up to her house. She went out. I guess she, you know, did everything she needed to do to get her car into the garage. And she heard these guys driving up the driveway. And so she slammed the garage door and she put the rake in it. And these guys came up and tried to open that garage door. And she said, you know, I'm really considering getting my concealed carry license. Now, just think about it. If her firearm was locked someplace in her house and she wanted to protect herself and the bad guys are at the door, you know, it really will, make it very difficult for her to get to her firearm and protect herself.
You're exactly right, and this is just terrifying. It just seems so inconsistent that the legislature these days are doing things that are creating crime. That crime is on the rise, and they're just not addressing those issues. At the same time, they are creating penalties for responsible and safe gun ownership. And my wife and I are very much aware of this. Many years ago, I had convicted a murderer, and we found out through some jail calls that that murderer's family was going to try to find my family and cause us harm and threaten to kill me and my family. And it was at that time that we chose to arm ourselves, and we had to be responsible in that ownership. But public safety is really real, and individual safety is a concern. And for the legislature to ignore both rising crime and then penalizing responsible gun ownership it's inconsistent at best, and certainly something else at worst.
Okay, you just mentioned something, rising crime. Crime is rising in the Denver metro area, yes?
Absolutely, and so your friend's example in Fort Collins is a perfect example of how people are starting to feel less safe in their communities. They have that feeling in their stomach, as you indicated, and they're having those experiences. And robberies are up, car thefts are up, and violent crime and murder, including murder, are up all over the state of Colorado, and it's in every community. And so, at this point, you would want to have your friend with the ability to protect yourself when necessary.
Well, and so there seems to be a correlation. If the bad guys know that you can't get to your firearm, I mean, it takes some time. They could get into your house. You can't get to your firearm because of this law. The bad guys know that. So it seems to me like that just there's a corollary between that and it emboldens crime.
Criminals are very, very smart at times. They know exactly what the laws are. They carry the exact amount of drugs that makes it a misdemeanor. They do the things that they think that they can do to either get away with things or minimize those penalties. And so they'll be very aware of those types of circumstances, like you've indicated. So it's very concerning that they're doing things on that are really placing us all at risk. And we just saw it, quite frankly, we just saw it yesterday. There was a home invasion yesterday where, unfortunately, someone was killed, but it was a justified shoot within that home where that homeowner was feeling unsafe. Somebody else had broken in, and the intruder had been shot. And after a thorough investigation, they found that it was a justified shoot by the homeowner.
Okay, so one other thing, and when I say embolden, that many years ago we were robbed, and the robbers knew that we weren't at home, and even though you felt a violation, they knew that we weren't home, and so there wasn't that risk of an interaction. But what we're talking about, what happened with my friend up in Fort Collins, these people knew she was home. And so nothing good can come of that when people start to do home invasions. Robberies aren't good. I'm not saying they are. Burglaries are not good. But when the bad guys know that you're there and they still are going to try to come into your house, that is really, really scary, Matt Durkin.
Oh, that's the worst kind of crime. I mean, there's so many, murders are awful and sexual assaults are awful. But burglaries are a complete violation, and that's into your home. And those are lethal, high-risk situations, obviously, when you have an intruder in your home who's up to no good, whatever that may be. Rarely is that going to end well. And so taking away our ability to defend ourselves in our home, which in Colorado we've taken very, very seriously, and we've honored that here in Colorado. And now it just simply feels like it's both being undermined by just general crime, but by legislation like this.
Okay, so it is so important that people help you out with this race. I appreciate you stepping up and putting your hat in the ring, because it's going to be a very important race. So how can people get more information about you and help you, Matt Durkin?
Well, thanks, Kim. I appreciate it. We're fighting hard, and we're getting a lot of enthusiasm. I think there's an awakening to these issues, Kim. I think there's people. I was out at the caucus this past weekend, and it was well attended, and people were aware of what was happening with public safety. They were concerned about it, but they were ready to take a stand for their communities. They felt and have seen that the crime is spreading, and they're ready to say no. And so there's a lot of enthusiasm out there for this issue and for our campaign. So people can go to durkinforda.com. That's durkinforda.com to contribute and to volunteer. We need all the help we can get to 435,000 or more voters in Jefferson and Gilpin County. And we got a wave that's building, and we just can't wait to kind of ride that into November.
Okay, so that is Durkin, D-U-R-K-I-N-F-O-R-D-A.com, durkinforda.com. And Matt, I think what let's do during this legislative session is every Wednesday, you are going to give us an update on, you know, just the whole criminal justice, you know, what's going on out there. And I'm really looking forward to that, Matt.
Excellent, Kim. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. And let's jump over to Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. It is such a roller coaster on the stock market out there. What happened yesterday, Jason?
Boy, you know, we're up 1,000, down 1,000. This would be getting boring if it wasn't such big numbers. You know what I mean, Kim?
Yeah, it is big numbers.
But yesterday, you know, it was a positive day. It kind of flopped around initially. The market actually went negative for a little bit in the morning. But then late in the day, we got a pretty good rally. The Dow ended up 1,100 and some points. So, yeah, we've got another up day. And what we kind of watch for, Kim, is do the markets hold on to the lows from yesterday and manage to kind of grind sideways or up a little. And then again, we got to watch for that follow-through day, which is a big move up somewhere between the fourth and seventh day into this rally attempt on higher volume than the previous day. And the reason I look for this pattern, Kim, is because there's never in history, not one time, been a bear market or a large correction like this that has ended without that follow-through setup occurring.
Okay, so, and I know that you're putting in a lot of long, long hours, Jason McBride, and you take such great care of your clients. And I really would recommend that people sit down and do a discovery session with you right now. I think there's great opportunity, but certainly there's a lot of volatility. People need to assess, and really a professional like you can help them assess what their risk tolerance is, plan for the future, and you and your colleagues over at Presidential do a really good job on that.
Well, I think we do. We do a good job of putting together plans that you know, are a little bit longer term. That doesn't always help emotionally during a period like this. We're all only human. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Kim, I hope it doesn't become my job to try to walk folks off the ledge if they're panicked. We do our best, I think, to construct overall plans for folks to try to keep them from getting to that ledge in the first place. So again,
right.
This may sound repetitive, but take a look at your overall picture. You know, try to look at what's happened to your overall investment picture recently, including your safer investments, hopefully you have them, plus the market, and maybe things haven't really come down as much as you might expect, and it may give you some comfort to know that only, you know, one part of your investment portfolio has taken a drawdown. And as you say, Kim, there may be opportunity. And I hate to quote China here, but you know, they say the symbol for risk and opportunity in the Chinese language is the same. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, so I hope it's not fake news.
No, I think that probably is really true. So, Jason McBride, so appreciate you shedding light on what's happening out there. If people want to get to sit down with you and do a discovery session, they can call you at 303-694-1600. Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. That's 303-694-1600. Or go to our landing page together. That is airpresidential.com, A-I-R, presidential.com. Jason McBride, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Françoise Bergen is an Aurora City Councilwoman. And there is something just really interesting. It's very nanny state, if you will. And that is, there is an ordinance that is proposed that would say that restaurants that offer a kid's meal can only offer certain drinks with that meal. And the question on the table is that the proper role of government? And so we're going to have a conversation with Françoise Bergen. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out my website, kimmunson.com. That is M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And be sure and go over on Facebook and like us. We greatly appreciate that as well. Françoise Bergen, Aurora City Councilwoman, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. It's crazy being a city councilwoman, isn't it?
It pretty much is, yes.
It is a more than full-time job. Where typically it depends on the cities, but you know, I figured out when I was on city council that probably I made 5 cents an hour. I mean, it's a lot of meetings. But tell us, what is going on in Aurora with this Healthy Kids Initiative?
Yes, so we're very busy in Aurora with a lot of exciting things happening, but then also some of these ordinances that are coming forward, as well as resolutions. And just recently, we had basically a healthy kids meal ordinance come forward. The sponsor is Councilmember Lawson. And it came forward I met with Tri-County Health and Children's Hospital, I think, in December when it was first being discussed. And they really have good intentions, and they're trying to make sure that children are not drinking too much sugary drinks because it's not healthy for them. And when I met with them, certainly that was important, and I agreed with them that was something that parents should be aware of and careful to not let their children drink too much sugary drinks. However, I was not in favor of the government mandating that a restaurant must offer milk or water as the choice in a bundled kids meal. And so it did then move forward through the process, and we had our first reading a couple weeks ago, and it's coming up Monday for our final reading on the 16th.
Well, and first of all, you know, in the big kind of big picture, is this the proper role of government? And, you know, there's code words. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And, you know, now I can't remember exactly who said that, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so this may be a good intention, but if it's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. You should be able to engage in the battle of ideas, educate people on why they may want to limit the amount of sugary drinks that their kids have. But when government comes in and starts to use force for this, so if they can tell you what you can, what the options can be here or here, what's to stop them from doing that over here on something else? And that's where I see it's a slippery slope. And even though it seems like it's somewhat benign, it is one of those things that you really have to take a stand on.
Well, yeah, and I think my stand was that it, you know, we all need to make healthy choices. However, it should be a parent's choice. And also, I had suggested to them when I met with Tri-County Health and Children's Hospital that they do an educational campaign versus trying to force an ordinance through the city. And it's not just affecting the parents' choice, but it also affects the restaurant owner and additional costs that they're going to bear with changing all their menus, not only the written menus, but anything that they have digital. And so there is a cost to the restaurants, not only to that, but their milk is I think I read 160% more expensive than soda. So juice is not allowed as well. Chocolate milk is not allowed. You can order that, but then the restaurant will have to still change their menus and then decide if they're going to charge an additional charge for that substitution. So when you say, well, they can still have those drinks, they can still have juice or soda or chocolate milk, then it makes the ordinance really ineffective in
But it increases the cost. It increases the cost for the consumer.
It definitely does. And we heard from a lot of constituents. We got, I would say 30, 40 emails a few weeks ago that parents were really not in favor of this. And the common theme was, this should be a parent's choice, and don't tell us what to do with our children. We can be educated, and sometimes we like to just take our kids out for a treat. Doesn't mean we have fast food every single day or have kids have sugary drinks every single day, but that should be a parent's choice. And you mentioned earlier slippery slope. I don't think it would go there, but you know, there's other things that have much more sugar than orange juice or apple juice. You know, what about candy? Is that next? A lot of the cereals that we eat have a lot of sugar.
Do you think we're going to have to change the name of the Pepsi Center to the Milk and Water Center?
That doesn't sound very sexy.
It doesn't. But you just mentioned this. Let's say a kid does well and gets a good report card. And I think I saw a piece that Councilman Gardner had put out. And he said, they like to take their kids out for a treat if they do well. And so why should they not have that choice with that kid's meal, that the kid could get what they wanted instead of what government says can be offered? I mean, I really find it so interesting. And I know Councilman Lawson, and I like her, but I really disagree with her on government becoming a nanny state.
Yeah, and it does sound like nanny state. And in fact, that was a lot of the comments in the emails was, this is total government overreach. It is nannyism. We and Councilmember Lawson is a good person, and I'm sure she had all the right intentions in doing this. It's just, again, it could have been an educational campaign. It doesn't need to be telling the restaurant what to do with their own business that they invested in. In fact, the Business Advisory Board, part of one of our boards and commissions on city council or in the city, came out unanimously against it, as did the Restaurant Association, and also a business improvement district on Havana also came out against it.
Well, and restaurants are getting squeezed. These little mom and pop restaurants, and these folks don't work just 40 hours a week. I mean, it is a lot of work to have a restaurant, and they're getting squeezed over here down at the state legislature with this forced minimum wage that we have. And I guess we put that in the Constitution, in fact. So there's this forced minimum wage. So those costs are going up. And then increasing the cost, for example, let's say that you're running a restaurant where you serve eggs. Well, we were just talking about this ordinance, the egg-laying hen confinement standards, law that's being proposed, or legislation that is being proposed to go into law down at the state house, increase the cost there. I mean, where is it going to stop, Françoise Bergen?
Well, I hope it stops here. Unfortunately, it will probably pass on Monday night. It passed last time I was actually out of town, but even so, with me being there on the 16th, it'll probably pass on a 6-4 vote. And we really, have been trying to have parents write in and give us their opinions as to whether they think this is a good idea. And overwhelmingly, they say it's not. It was actually posted on a next door post by a resident. And a lot of comments were made. as well about, you know, government just, in fact, they were so upset. They were, you know, are you kidding me? Are you guys wasting your time on this ordinance when you could be spending time fixing our potholes and, you know, addressing all of our other issues with our police and so forth? I mean, we have a lot of very serious issues we need to address, and this is taking up a lot of time.
Well, and government is really supposed to stay within a limited box, what they are supposed to do. And people need to be responsible in the choices that they offer their children. But if a parent wants to offer a child, you know, take them out and celebrate something or just be out with the family, government should not be involved in those choices. And I'll just tell you, Francoise, a quick story. When my kids were little, and they got out for Halloween, and they didn't really eat a lot of candy. I never really limited what they ate. I mean, we offered everything, but, you know, they never ever really, you know, just, overindulged in that.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, I think that, and so they had their candy up in their room, and I think it was, I probably shouldn't admit this, I think it was like February, and one of their friends came over who the parents totally limited what they could drink, what they offered to them. And I went upstairs, and the kid that was over visiting had totally gorged himself on the candy. And I just thought that was such an interesting thing that he, you know, because it was so limited when it was offered, he totally gorged himself on that. Kids do funny things, Francoise. They do funny things.
Yeah, and actually that's a good lesson. And, you know, kids have to learn how to make choices as well. I mean, that's part of growing up.
And most certainly so. Francoise, this is a great conversation. When we come back, would you like to stay on the line and talk about any of the other things happening in Aurora, or do you need to run?
Sure. No, I can stay on.
Okay, great. This is Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. We're going to go to break. We have on the line with us Francoise Bergen. She is Aurora City Councilwoman, and we'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and check out our website, kimmunson.com. All of our show recaps are there, and we've got podcasts of the shows there. So if it's not convenient or you miss it from 6 to 7 a.m., you can certainly go to the recaps and find the show there. Or KLZ does replay the show from 10 to 11 p.m., so if you stay up late, you can listen to it then. On the line with me is Francoise Bergen. She is serving as a councilwoman in Aurora. And first of all, Francoise, thank you. I know it takes a tremendous amount of time, and you bring great care to representing your constituents. So thank you for what you're doing there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It certainly is a public service. I mean, we don't do this for the money, that's for sure.
Well, let's talk about Aurora. Aurora is one of the biggest cities in Colorado, isn't it?
It's the third largest city and growing. Yes.
Okay. So we were talking about this ordinance that unfortunately you think may pass on Monday night, and that is regarding whether or not or what can be offered in a child's meal at restaurants to drink.
Right.
What would you say are some of the pressing issues, though, that you're really concerned about, Francoise, that's happening in Aurora?
Yes. One of the issues is basically recruiting and retaining our police officers. We're really struggling with that in today's age in terms of getting people to join the police force. And so that's one of the things we're tackling and making sure that we have competitive pay and benefits for them, because we are competing against Denver, which is right next door to us. And we have great officers, and we have a great academy that they go through. We've had some issues this past year that basically, you know, kind of put a dark spot on our police force, and it's unfortunate for a few bad apples that it taints the entire police force. So we're dealing with that. We recently, one of the council members put together what's called a police relations community task force, and that task force is being formed as we speak. We had a lot of candidates apply for it. And when it came up to council to be voted on, I was one of the members that voted against it, not because it's not a good idea in terms of improving police relations. Of course, we want to do that, and that's very important. However, the makeup of the task force was troubling to me in terms of who the stakeholders were, and some members in our city did not even want any police representation on the police task force, which is police relations task force. So we finally were able to get one person from the police union to be able to be part of the membership. In fact, he hasn't been assigned yet or appointed yet to that task force, but being considered. One of the things I brought up was an amendment to not allow felons to serve on the task force. Someone that had been previously incarcerated for a felony, and that actually failed on a 6-4 vote, and I was pretty surprised. And the argument.
So you're saying
was,
that, and I have to say, I totally believe in second chances for people, Francoise.
I totally
believe in that. But yet, on the other hand, I'm not sure that someone that has been convicted of a crime should be on a task force regarding the police. I admire the fact that you brought that amendment up.
Well, and it was, you know, regarding not only relations but also oversight of operations and so forth. And part of the discussion was, well, aren't they going to get some type of training, exposure to what the police go through for training? You know, de-escalation techniques and just how they deal with situations, situational awareness, and so forth. And so, I said, well, okay, what if they're background checked and we just took out certain types of felonies or, you know, what, and that was not even something that would be plausible to them.
Okay, so just a question, though. So you're saying that on this task force, and I have to say I'm not really jazzed about all these task force and committees or whatever, because then you have all these unelected people that then, you know, they spend a lot of time, I appreciate that, but then they come forward with these recommendations to city council, and it puts the city council person in a really difficult situation, because if they don't take those recommendations of these unelected appointed people, it makes it just really difficult on a council person. And your job is to represent your constituents. You are accountable to them. They vote you in, and that's where we really should be keeping our, you know, our decision making should be right there with the council people.
Exactly. You're right. So often these are supposed to be advisory boards to make recommendations, but it seems in the last few years that they have been strengthened and maybe overreaching their authority. And it should be left to city council. That's what we were elected to do. So, again, I think the concept sounds good and to improve relations. But one of the things that Councilmember Gardner actually suggested was that could we include something to address our youth violence and our gangs in the city? And that didn't pass either.
Now what?
So, you know, we're like, look, if we're going to deal with this task force, when we have some issues with crime in our city, especially we want to reduce any kind of gang crime, that we felt that would be a good thing to include in the task force, and it was defeated.
Okay, let me just connect a dot here for you then. So you've got a city council people that did not want to put something into this task force, this police task force, and first of all, did not want to have any police representation on that, but wanted to have criminal representation on that. But when brought forward that we wanted to address for our children this youth violence right. and gangs, they said no. But yet on Monday night, you think you guys are going to pass an ordinance that says that, that kids can't have sugary drinks. I kind of think that doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't want to put you in a difficult position, Francoise. I'm just thinking out loud here. And it does not make sense to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, and just, you know, moving on to some other things that we're dealing with, we have a lot of immigration issues that we're dealing with, which has never really been the responsibility of local government. It's federal government's responsibility. But we have entertained things like Welcome America. We're actually passed a resolution to be part of that group, which is fine.
Now, what is Welcome America?
It's just a membership group that is supposed to help relations with our immigrant community. So that was fine. Then we joined Cities for Citizenship, and that one was a little bit more contentious with council because if you do the research on Cities for Citizenship, some of the sponsors are Bill de Blasio and some of those. Yeah. And
Does it cost anything for the city to join these?
Well, originally there was going to be a membership cost to us, and then somehow it got waived by the organization so that we don't have to pay for it. But it's not one thing alone. It's, you know, that. Then we joined Cities for Citizenship, which is personally, this is my personal opinion, seems to have cities that have sanctuary city policies that are members of that.
Okay.
So it was kind of like, why are we joining that? And then we did... of course, we had to answer President Trump's refugee resettlement question as to whether we were going to accept more refugees into Aurora. So then we dealt with that. That passed through. And then now we have a resolution coming forward that that our police department has a policy that we do not ask for immigration status, which is true. Only if they're convicted of a crime do we fingerprint them, and then those fingerprints go to the federal agencies. However, a council member is asking for a resolution to say that our police follow this policy. And it's just, well, why would you do a resolution if we're already doing it? It doesn't make sense to introduce that. And
do you think it could be a correlation between having a difficult time getting police officers and these kinds of policies? It seems to me there might be a correlation.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we want to have very good relations. We have a very diverse community in Aurora, probably one of the most diverse communities in America. And we want to have great relations with our immigrants. But we are kind of little by little moving in a different direction. And I think a lot of it is more towards having policies and monies put towards helping on the illegal side. For example, there's an illegal defense fund that the mayor was approached about, asking for monies to defend those that have gone through the legal system that may be deported, and using taxpayer monies for that to get legal representation.
Boy, that is not the proper role of government. That's not what government is supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
Boy, so there's big issues going on out there. What else? We have one more time for one more thing that's on your heart, Francoise.
Yes, another thing, of course, our city is funded primarily by sales tax. About 10% of our funds come from property tax. And Aurora Mental Health is an organization in Aurora that does really good work. They approached us last year, and it didn't work out to be on the ballot, nor did we want it to be on the ballot. They're coming back, and they are getting signatures to put on the ballot for the city of Aurora a tax increase of 0.25%. And that money raised, which would be in the millions, would go to this nonprofit organization. And certainly the mayor and I don't know how many council members are not for it, but the mayor is not in favor of it. And it would take away monies from our city taxpayers towards a nonprofit, and we don't know really where the money would go. They have told us there would be a new board that would be put together, and we would have a seat on the board to make decisions as to how that money was spent. The problem is we can't even get, you know, increases for things such as police pay or for our roads. So if we ever increased our sales tax and to try to be competitive with other jurisdictions, that would really hamper us ever having a viable, you know, tax increase, if you could call it that.
Well, what's wrong with that is that then you are collecting taxes and you are giving it to unelected people with no accountability to the people whatsoever. That is totally antithetical to the American idea. Francoise yeah. Bergen,
you,
wow.
I was going to add one thing. I was going to say, unfortunately, it will be marketed as a really good thing because, of course, we want to help people that do have mental health issues, and there is, you know, a lack of resources. So it's going to be sold as a really good thing, helping with, you know, teen suicides and so forth. However, it's not city government's role.
Right, and it's not proper to tax people and then give that money to an unelected, unaccountable nonprofit. So, oh my gosh, Francoise Bergen, I know you spend so much time, you take such great care, and that's why you were recently reelected. And so thank you for all the hard work that you do there in Aurora as Aurora City Councilwoman.
Thank you very much, Kim. Appreciate it.
Wow, Steve, that is kind of unbelievable to me. So I guess we're out of time. Quick comment, Steve?
No, you guys really summed it up quite well. And it just blows me away that the priorities sometimes in government is just, it's just not there where it needs to be.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, well, we're out of time. Our quote for today is from Ray Kroc with McDonald's. He said, "Luck is a dividend of sweat. The more you sweat, the luckier you get." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell